Welcome back to the Animal House. I'm Sam Litzinger with Dr. Gary Weitzman of the San Diego Humane Society. He'll answer your animal-related questions at 1-877-610-3647. That's 877-610-3647. You can also send us your questions or your comments using our website, wamuanimalhouse.org. Gary, I have a question.
Did you call in, Sam? Wait a
no,
minute.
No, I know I should be, but I'm the host, so I get to jump the line on this.
All right.
I had a feral cat come by the house the other day with four little kittens in tow. Oh. So I'm not quite sure how old the kittens are. I know there's that period of socialization. You know, you can only go up to about, what, 8 weeks, something like that?
Yeah, it's
so
about
our
eight,
dilemma now, yeah, our dilemma now is, what options do we have for a situation like that? Of course, we want to do the best by the cats we possibly can. What could I do?
You're getting a reputation in your family.
I know.
Huh?
You warned
First
me this
it
would
was
happen.
The Cairo kittens.
Yeah.
I know. Word gets out on the feral cat newsletter. Well, you know, you're bringing up what a lot of people go through. And so you have a couple options. You know, let them remain as feral cats or what we're calling nationally community cats now, and they'll be okay. You know, I mean, if there's a caretaker out there feeding them, they're okay, but we don't love it. I think the reason, Sam, you and I have talked a little bit about this is that we're worried that you could kind of save those kittens up to that 8 week point. After that, it's almost impossible. If not, I'd go right out and say it's impossible to socialize them. So if you trap them, you want to get mom spayed. That'd be great. If you can trap them, all of them, then when the babies, when mom is sedated, the babies might be able to be handled and then relocated somewhere where they can actually be socialized. And you might be able to do that because they might not quite be 8 weeks yet. I think the best bet is to go to your local humane society or municipal agency and get a trap and try to trap mom and maybe trap those kittens too and get them in so she can get spayed and neutered. And those guys can maybe not get spayed and neutered if they're too young, but maybe if they're socialized, they can relocate them and get somebody to start fostering them and get their sociability up a little bit and
okay,
then eventually
advice.
Get them into a home.
Excellent. Thank you very much. We'll ponder
sure.
all that. Now let's get, now I've jumped the line and I
all
feel
right.
guilty. So let's get some
okay.
questions from folks who also have some issues for you. Let's take a telephone call from Chrissy, who's calling us from Reston, Virginia. Chrissy, glad to have you with us in the Animal House. Question for Dr. Gary?
Hi, it's great to be on. It's not so much a question as it is a story. And it's
okay, love that. I'll just sit back.
So this happened in 2011. At that time, I had three rescue dogs and two rescue cats. My two cats liked to go for walks with me. When I would walk the dog, they'd go on the bike trail. I was out one day walking the dogs, and I had both cats with me. And when I got home, I only had one cat. And this isn't terribly unusual. Uh-huh. My mm-hmm. yellow cat is friends with a lot of neighbors. They bring him in their yard. They pet him. And I didn't think anything of it. But then he didn't come back that night, and that's very unusual. And I didn't see him for a few days. I started to get worried. For the next 2 weeks, I paid for a service to robocall every pet store and animal shelter in a 50-mile radius. I plastered the neighborhood with posters. I had tons
oh,
of
wow.
weeds. I went to every shelter. I mean, he was a very special cat to me. You know, I thought he was just the best cat in the world, and I was devastated that we had lost him. And then one day, about 2.5 weeks after he went missing, I got a phone call from, he was microchipped, and I got a phone call from the company that did the microchip, and somebody had found him and brought him to a vet. And I was ecstatic. So I went and I picked Bailey up from the vet, and I met this very nice British lady named Stevie, who unfortunately had lost her cat, who looked a lot like Bailey. And she thought that Bailey was hers, and that's how she brought him to the vet. And she told me her story, and it actually became apparent that he had been with her this entire time. She'd had him for 2.5 weeks. And I didn't get the whole story out of her, but about a week later, I was listening to the radio, and Animal House is on, and one of the callers that called in the show was Stevie, the same lady. She told the story about how her cat Snap went missing, and her neighbor found Snap on the bike trail following some lady with a bunch of dogs and picked up Snap and brought Snap home to them. And they said, well, but Snap's just acting totally weird. He's crying all the time. He doesn't know how to use the kitty door. He acts like he's not even our cat. And you said, well, are you sure it's your cat? You recommended that she take him to the vet right away, that if it really was Snap, he might have experienced some sort of trauma while he was out wandering the wilderness, and she did that, and that very day, I got Bailey the cat home.
Oh, so, really? Oh,
it was an interesting perspective to hear it on the radio right after I'd gotten him home. I was so excited, and I figured it would be nice to share that story at some point with Animal House that you brought my cat home to me.
Wow, that is something. Chrissy, I remember. Sam, do you remember that story?
I
remember
do.
That.
Because
completely
I remember how skeptical you were, saying, are you really sure this is your cat?
I know. And that was years ago, right?
It was. It's about almost 3 years ago now, yes.
Wow. Wow, that is amazing. Feel bad for Snap's mom. I hope she found Snap at some point. But, yeah, I'm glad you got him back. See, the beauty of the microchip.
That's
so
right.
Important.
Yeah.
You know, so important to get everybody microchipped.
He usually has a collar, but you never know. He had lost his collar just a day or two before, and absolutely he would not be home without a microchip.
Now, how is he doing these days? Is he okay? Everything seems normal for him?
Yeah, he's fantastic. I thought that he might take a few days to adjust, and we got home. He got out of the car, and he looked very annoyed with me for a little while. He didn't leave the house for a day or two, didn't go on walks, but then after that, he was fine. So, yeah, he's wonderful. He's great with my – I now have a 2-year-old daughter, and they hang out together, all four of our animals. Now we lost our beagle last year, but we still have our four rescue animals, and they're all wonderful with her. So, big, happy family.
Boy, I'm glad to get a story with a happy ending like that, Gary.
Yeah, seriously, that is great. Well, I'm glad. Hopefully you'll never have to deal with that again, but this is wonderful that you got him home.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chrissy.
We haven't even commented on how astounding it is that you're going on woods walks with your cats, though. I think that's pretty terrific, too.
That's a whole other phone call, I think.
So Bailey knew where Disney World was, and it was back with you, Chrissy. So really glad that it worked out.
Thank you so much,
Excellent.
Chrissy. And Gary, this gives us another excuse to say a word or two about microchipping, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, always. Yeah. Most important thing you can do with your pets. Most important.
Our telephone number is 877-610-3647. Our website is wamuanimalhouse.org. Let's take a telephone call from Lydia, who's calling us from Cheverly, Maryland. Lydia, glad to have you with us in the Animal House. Question for Dr. Gary?
Yes, we have a house in Florida. My husband and I have a house here in Cheverly and also in Florida. And we're here in Cheverly for the summer. But I was back down in Florida. I had to fly down for something. And I noticed that we have a manufactured house. So it's a trailer, but it's a double wide. And it has a brick facing on it that's starting to kind of peel away. And we noticed when we woke up, like 2-3 in the morning, we kept seeing birds flying around. It's like, wow, those birds are really flying fast. And then in the morning, I went around there and I realized they were bats.
Yeah, not birds. Bats.
But we like them. Of course, Florida can, any place can use them.
Yeah, and bats are in such terrible shape these days. Yeah.
Oh, I know. And apparently, I thought, well, I don't want to exterminate them, but let me call the exterminator to see if they can recommend something. And said, yes, go ahead and call a pest removal or an animal removal place that specializes in that. And this fellow down in Florida said, bats are, of course, so much, we don't want to kill them. And if we smoke them out, then the mamas or the papas that stay with the babies who can't fly when the smoke is in there will die.
Yeah.
Well, as we don't want dead animal smell either.
Right, right.
But so I guess, I don't know if you have you ever had any experience with that? And
I'm going to bring in an expert, if that's all right, a bat expert. I know you know a little bit about bats, Gary. But
I love hearing that you've got a bat expert coming on, Sam.
Let's bring in Jeff Gore, who's a wildlife biologist with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Jeff, glad to have you with us in the Animal House.
Glad to be here.
I've not heard of smoking bats out. Is that fairly typical?
No, it's not typical and not recommended. It can be harmful to the bats, and it's not really good for people that might be in the house either.
Yeah. So did you end up getting them out of there, by the way, finally?
Well, they I spoke with somebody in Florida, and they said that they couldn't do anything about it, that we should wait till autumn when we're back there in October and then just deal with it then. Of course, I don't know the techniques.
Well, Jeff, what are the options that Lydia has? Now, she's got the bats, and at some point, I'm assuming, Lydia, you don't want to keep them forever. You would like them to move on to someplace else. What can she do?
Yeah, and we definitely don't encourage people to have bats in a building that they're inhabiting, even though we're all for protecting the bats. And there is actually a law in Florida that prohibits you from doing the removals in the summer, just as Lydia said here, and it's to protect both the people and the bats in the house.
Oh, that's interesting, because they are having such terrible trouble, right?
Yes, and thankfully, the white-nosed disease that you're referring to that's so decimated the bats up north has not reached Florida yet, but it's getting close. Mm. So we are trying to protect the bats, and it's also good, as she said, you don't want to move the bats out while the babies are still in the building, because not only is that inhumane to the babies, but then you have dead bats and you really have a problem in your house. So there is a simple procedure, relatively simple in her case with a building like that. We call it exclusion. It's simply a matter of you hang some netting or a piece of plastic, or you can even use some tubes over the entry point where the bats are going in, and the bats fly out, but because of the way you hang this material, they can't figure out how to get back in. They drop out the bottom of a curtain, if you can visualize what I'm saying, and then they try to fly back in. They don't realize they have to go back under that curtain. So it's essentially a one-way valve for them to go out. You simply leave that up, and we've got parameters that you have to do that for 4 nights on a warm night after August 15. And you let that happen, and then you go back and simply close up the hole, and the bats are gone, and you're happy.
Oh, so are there people that do this professionally, or where would Lydia turn for help here?
Yes, same place that sounds like she went to the folks that had the right advice and are familiar with it. So these pest removal, pest control companies, there's a number of them throughout the state, so she can go to those and just ask for one that has some experience in doing excluding bats from the building. They'll know the dates. Again, August 15 to April 15th is the window that you can do it, and it's a relatively simple process. You can also look online at several spots. FloridaBats.org is one place that, and BatCon.org or others on the net that have some pictures and descriptions of how to do this yourself.
Okay, that's great. And I'm so glad to hear about the websites about the bats, because I want to learn more about them too. So thank you.
Yeah. I'd also point out to you that you'll hear some people pass along stories about diseases and concerns with the bats. Really not a problem as long as you're not handling the bats. And this whole process with the one-way valve allows you to put up this material. You never touch the bat. No one should be grabbing bats and moving. And obviously, right. If you've got a downed bat, you don't want to pick up that bat.
Yeah. Thank you much.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Jeff. Much appreciated.
No problem. Enjoyed it.
Jeff's a wildlife biologist with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Did you run into a lot of bats in veterinary school, Gary?
We had a very short course in bats, and it was a very long time ago, and I'm so grateful that Jeff got on the phone.
I think we got some good advice there, too. Thank you, Gary.
Exactly. You're welcome, Sam.
For the Animal House, I'm Michael Stein, and this is Bird Note. Nothing will bring wondrous songbirds to your yard faster than a ready supply of water. The summer season is generally the driest of the year. Creeks run low or underground. Rain is scarce and temporary puddles gone. Summer is a crucial time to supply your backyard birds with water for drinking and bathing. Bird baths set at different heights serve a great variety of birds. Some shy birds come readily to a bird bath set flat on the ground, but will rarely visit a bird bath on a pedestal. Leave those for the more bold bathers. Water depth is important too. Many birds prefer shallow water over deep. An inch of water, or even less, is ideal for small birds. A wide, shallow birdbath that deepens a bit in the center will suit a broad range of birds. A fine dripper or a mister on a birdbath is also a superb idea. Not only will it keep the vessel full with little effort, but small birds like hummingbirds often prefer a refreshing shower.
Coming up in the Animal House, a Hollywood icon stands up for horses.
I would ride my quarter horse. He rode the beautiful Tennessee walking horse, and we would ride them on the grounds of Graceland. Now, the stigma of soaring has cost this breed so much of its popularity.